again. Glad to see y'all here today. Pray for our pastor that's on the road and going to be traveling. And this may be a real short message today, but before you get too excited, it may be my longest short message, so we'll see. But we've been talking about godly character. And I never in the history of the world, or especially the history of this nation, have we had such a situation where there's just this godlessness everywhere you look. And you know, we were a nation built on Christian principles, and this was built with people that didn't. They didn't have Christian bookstores or Christian radio stations. There was no Christian bumper stickers, you know, no Christian T-shirts. They didn't have Bibles. A lot of them didn't have churches. But they had a sense and an awareness of God, and they had a reverence for God. And it was something that they just knew. And over the years, people had to just, for some reason, with all that we've experienced, with all the blessings of God we've had on this nation, they've gotten the wrong idea about who God is or whether or not God even exists. And it's either all of the blessings in my life are because of my own personal accomplishments, but then if I have problems in my life, it's because of God, because that's what He does. When a hurricane hits, you know, of course, that's an act of God. Tornadoes, that's supposed to be an act of God. When there's a plane crash, it was because God killed everybody, wanted to bring them all home. When someone loses a child, it's because God needed another little angel. You know, our culture has this warped view of who God is. And the only way that they can get an accurate picture of who He is when they look at us. It depends on how we portray God. If they see the character, the true character of God in us, then we send a message. I want to start with the same verse that I've been starting with each time. Found in Acts 11, 25, 26. It says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And the thing that keeps drawing me to this verse is that there was something seen in these two disciples. You know, this is not talking about all the disciples. This is Barnabas and Saul. This is evidently very early in that ministry, because he's still called Saul. But they saw something in these two people. It said they stayed there for a year. So the people got to observe them and watch their behavior and how they acted for a year. And they didn't have a good word to describe that. So they had to make up a new one. So they said, well, we'll call them Christians. Now, if they were speaking in English, they would have said, well, you know, these are anointed ones. And it was because there was something that was obviously different from them than from the people of Antioch in the culture that they grew up in. They saw God in them. They saw the anointing of God on them. And over in, this is not on my scripture list, but over in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul says, we are God's ambassadors. So whatever opinion this world is going to get from God, you know, they have a lot of different sources. They have Hollywood. They have social media. They have churches, and sometimes churches don't portray an accurate picture of God's character. But then you have those people that have a real relationship with God, and it's the people that you see the life of God at work in. And those are the people that really make a difference. And a lot of that is determined just by choices that you make. The Bible says that God will order our steps. Well, steps are determined by choices. Whether you go to the right or to the left, forward or backwards, there's a choice involved there. So every time God gives you a step to make, you have a choice to make on whether or not you're going to step in that direction or you're going to choose your own direction. And when we choose His direction, it brings out more of His character in us. There's a couple of weeks ago, this is not on my scripture list, we're not going to look it up, but over in Galatians 5:22, it gives us a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about one of those today, and it's faithfulness. And when you say the word faithfulness, that's a word that the world is just not real familiar with now. I know in the workplace, a lot of employers would almost have somebody that is faithful than somebody that is well-educated, because they just need somebody that'll show up. You know, in the day that I started employment, if you didn't show up one day for no reason, well, then you didn't show up the next day either, or the day after that, or the day after that, or ever. And for some reason, it's become tolerated and accepted as normal nowadays that, you know, you look at who showed up for work, and, you know, some of them are here, some of them are not, and some of them are not here with no explanation. They're not faithful with their job. Then you have other people that go over and beyond what's expected of them. They don't just show up. They show up early. They stay late. They do more than what's asked of them. And when you have somebody like that, they're special. And what works against us is when the person that don't show up says that he's a Christian. And he's unfaithful in his actions. But then you've got some guy that's just as worldly as he can be. He could even claim to be an atheist. But he's very faithful in his actions toward his job. I mean, who makes a bigger and better impression? And so, you know, I want to emphasize this. The character of God in us doesn't come from us having a list of do's and don'ts. It comes from a relationship we have with God, that the more we're with Him, the more we become like Him. And so when character is lacking in us, it's because we're lacking in time with Him. And so I want to look, mostly I've got a long scripture list, and so I'm just going to be reading a lot of scriptures today. And when you go to the concordance and you look up the word faithful or faithfulness concerning God, it's a long list. You could spend weeks just in a study of these scriptures. So, you know, this is nowhere near a complete list. But I just want to emphasize, first of all, we're going to look at God's faithfulness. And then we'll take a look at man's faith, or the child of God's faithfulness. So, first of all, let me kind of give you the world's definition of faithful. That is a dictionary. Definition of faithful: steadfast in affection or allegiance. It can be a loyal follower, someone who is dedicated, devoted, devout, loyal, steadfast, or steady. And when I looked at all that list and I thought about the faithfulness of God, I said, this don't come anywhere close to describing God's faithfulness. Shouldn't come anywhere close to describing our faithfulness. There probably shouldn't even be a word to express it. It's just one of those things, you know it when you see it. I mean, you sure know it when it's missing. So it should be known when it's there. But let me just go back to this thing about at Antioch, how these two disciples show up and they spend a year with them, and they see such a difference in them that people start coming to the Lord just because of the lives that they live. Because when they were there teaching for a year, that, you know, they didn't have one of these. They didn't have any of Kenneth Hagin's books. They didn't have any of the resources that we have today. I mean, we're just loaded with things to help us, tools to help us get the gospel across, and they mostly go unused. This is one that mostly goes unused. One of the good news items that I've seen in just the past couple of weeks is that for some reason Bible sales are up in America. I mean, that's a good thing. That means that people are, there's a hunger there somewhere. And so people are going to be searching, looking for a foundation they can build on. They're going to be looking for godly people. You know, are you the type of person that someone would come to and say, you know, I want to know the Lord. I want to build a relationship with the Lord. Can you help me? And when you look at your own life and you know, do you feel condemned over it? Do you feel like you're inadequate? Well, that would be kind of normal, because compared to God, we are. But when you've been faithful to God, we're people. We make mistakes. You know, there's things that we do. We fail at times. But overall, when we're committed to God and we're faithful to God, and when someone comes to us, well, the first thing you've got to be when someone comes to you is all of a sudden you just adopted a disciple. And your faithfulness to that person has a lot to do with their survival as a Christian. But so many times we meet them one time, we give them a word, and we're kind of done. But there's follow-up that needs to be done. And because there's a fight on for this soul now. There's the devil's out there trying everything he can to get them back, to go back. And, you know, if you just let them, then you have a responsibility to that. So you have to be faithful to the ones that come to you wanting to know about the Lord. But, again, they saw something different. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was seen by a lot of people afterwards. But the thing was, they didn't know who he was. There was something in his appearance that had changed. And so they didn't recognize him by what he looked like. And generally, you can't really identify a Christian because they look a certain way. Sometimes, by the way, some of them dress, you would make the guess they're probably not. But, you know, even there, you know, some people are a little more liberal in their thinking than that. But there should be something that they see in us that is not physical. That there's something spiritual in us that's so strong that it can only be explained as the presence of God and the character of God. When we're born again, we're given a new nature. And included in that new nature is God's character. Now, how much of that character comes out of us depends a whole lot on how much we renew our mind. And of course, we renew our mind through God's Word. And so how much time we spend in the Word will affect how we deal with living in this world. Because when people see are in a crisis, or they see a crisis coming and they're in panic, and because you don't have that fear, because you have a relationship with God, you're trusting in Him, really trusting in Him, and so you don't respond to it the same way, and you have a peace that's come over you when everybody else is in chaos. At least that's the way it should be. It's not always. You know, we know that Christians can panic just as well as the world does. You know, what most of us have probably done it, or at least seen it. And so it's a process. It's a growing process. It's something that happens over time. And the longer we have a relationship with the Lord, the more time we spend with Him, then of course, like I say, the more we start becoming like Him. The goal is to be transformed into the image of His Son. Jesus was the personification of God's character. He sets the bar. And so in seeing that, it shouldn't be something that condemns us, but it should be something that we do take a serious look at from time to time and ask ourselves the question, you know, how close am I? Ask God, how close am I? You know, what needs to change in me? What needs to grow in me? Because it's a continuing process that never stops until you step over to the other side. And so it's something that, for the most part, the church has been very passive about. You know, just as long as I can be entertained in church, the music's good, the speaker's funny, you know, if I walk away feeling good, then it's all good. But that's not what it is. You should walk away from here today changed. You shouldn't leave here the way you came in. You should have more to offer to this world out here when you leave today than when you got here today. Should be something to offer them. And it's because that we serve a faithful God that we owe Him our faithfulness. Proverbs 26 says, most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? A faithful man is hard to find. A faithful person. I try to say it correctly here. We believe in equality, so I'm. Who can find a faithful person? Again, it's very hard today. You know, in the workplace, anywhere, you know, people will just tell you anything, and or promise you anything, and then if they don't live up to it, it's no big deal. I'll be there. You can count on me. Right. And usually when we hear those words, you know, we've experienced so much disappointment, it don't even bother us when, you know, the person that says they'll show up, if they don't show up as well, it's just kind of what happens now. I know in my house I've got several projects that I've had people, I've had them come in and give me an estimate on fixing things up. And I'd agree to the price, I'd agree to the time. And then when they were supposed to come do it, nothing, you know, didn't show up. You see, if I were going to make an assumption, my assumption would be this person's probably not a Christian, because surely a Christian would be faithful in showing up. I had one project. All I needed was a door put on a bathroom. It took me 6 years, I think, to finally find somebody that would give me a quote and show up. And then the guy that finally did it wouldn't let me pay him. You know, so what do you think I think of this guy as compared to all the ones that gave me a price and then didn't show up? He showed up and then wouldn't take money. But again, that was a part of God's faithfulness and the way he's been taking care of me. You know, I've had so many things happen like that over the past couple of years. I've lost count. The pastor keeps badgering me to write all this down, and I haven't been faithful to do that. I forget. But seriously, God has just shown His faithfulness to me over and over. And when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, and Galatians 5:22. All of these are spiritual characters. They're the characteristics of God. It's not the kind of things you can look at and just make, partially you can make a decision that I'm going to do this, but you don't do it by looking for instructions or a list of do's and don'ts. Because the first thing that it lists is love. Well, love is a decision. You have to choose to love. But if you're going to truly love, you choose to do it, but it's just the most natural thing in the world for you because it's the love of God working through you. It's not something external. It's something that comes from inside, from the presence of God. And it comes as a result that your mind has been renewed according to the Word of God. So your basis for loving someone is simply because God loves them. It's not because they've done anything for you. It's not because they love you. It's because it's God's nature to love them, and that's working in you, so I love them. So when you go down all the list of the fruits, and one of them way down towards the end of the list is faithfulness. And because God is faithful, we want faithfulness to be in us. Because when people see us as faithful, then they can begin to trust a God that's faithful. Because surely, if a human being can be faithful to me, then God, who is greater than us, how great can his faithfulness be? Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22-23, says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I find myself repeatedly saying that through my life, throughout the week, through the day. I look around and God just keeps doing things and keeps doing things. And all I can do is say, Lord, great is your faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 23-24 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make your whole spirit, soul, and body, is that everything, be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. What does that mean? He who calls you will also do it. In other words, whatever he's called you to do, you're going to do it because he's going to do it through you. That's how you'll get it done. 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And you know, we've been doing this study on Saturdays about healing, and I think the best results for healing is when we really realize that God is faithful to his word. God promised something and it's so, and that settles it. Doesn't matter how I feel, doesn't matter what the symptoms are, doesn't matter what a doctor's report says, because God is faithful. And I have a covenant with him, and he is faithful to keep his part of the covenant. And if there's a problem there, it ain't God's problem. Sometimes we have to make an adjustment. Sometimes we have to go to the Lord and say, you know, where am I missing it? And, you know, through his faithfulness, he's faithful to let us know that. You know, James told us, you know, if any of you lack knowledge, you know, go to God to ask him. He won't get mad at you. 11:11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed when she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who promised. Now, you think about that. You think about how old she was. Over 90 years old. I mean, my mother will be 90 the 16th of this month. You know, just thinking about her and at her age having a baby, you know, it wants to make you laugh. It does. But the thing was, God had made this promise. And age didn't matter here. God promised. The condition of the body didn't matter. God promised. And through Abraham's life, when it started as Abram and then he became Abraham, just there's a series of events where God keeps promising and he keeps promising and he keeps promising. And he keeps fulfilling his promises. And God is still, even today, fulfilling promises that he made to Abraham back then. He hasn't stopped yet. Just because Abraham is not here has not stopped God from fulfilling those promises. And that's because he's faithful. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, I love this one. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is one of those places where his faithfulness comes in and does away with our unfaithfulness. When we have sinned against him, when we've been unfaithful to him, that's okay. I'll replace it with mine. Thank God. One more. Now, there was probably 150 or so different references to God's dealing with the word faithful or faithfulness, and these are just a few, but I want one more out of Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. The one we serve, that's his faithfulness, is his name. You know, in the Bible, especially you go to the Old Testament, when somebody received a name, it meant something. And our Lord, our Savior, he has a name. Actually, he's got a bunch of them. But one of them is faithfulness. And that's a name that I call on often. But okay, how about faithfulness concerning us? What's your opinion of faith, of how faithful people are in church today? Good, bad, somewhere in between. When the divorce rate in the church is as high as it is in the world, what does that say about faithfulness in the church? Since a lot of people have missed that concept, because most divorce is going to be centered around some kind of unfaithfulness in some area. And so, you know, when we see that in the church, it spells out that there's a problem there. Now, a lot of times, it's not unfaithfulness on the part of both parties. It's unfaithfulness on the part of one. So the other one, you know, is guiltless in that case. But still, you know, that unfaithfulness affects a lot of lives. It affects the person that they made a covenant with. It affects children. It affects grandchildren. It affects later relationships where there's maybe a remarriage or something like that. It creates all kind of chaos. But something Jesus had to say about faithfulness, he said, this is found in Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So, I mean, this is pretty tough, what Jesus is telling them here. He's telling them, you know, if you can't be faithful with your earthly riches, the things that God's given you, then how can you be trusted with spiritual riches? You know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, I give to the church, I tithe. But, you know, have you ever wondered about all those rich, ungodly people out there, all those celebrities, all the athletes, the singers, the actors, people that could care less about God and will even publicly mock God, and yet here they are, they're just filthy rich. And you think, you know, God, I could do a lot more with that money, a lot better with that money than what they're doing. But yet they have it. And you know where a lot of it comes from? Us. Because Christians are some of the worst people in the world about supporting the ungodly with their money. They'll buy their music, they'll go see their movies, you know, they'll support them in all kind of different ways. And so, you know, Proverbs tells us that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Well, somehow the devil got it turned around to where the wealth of the righteous is going to the sinner. And there needs to be a reversal of that. And I mean, we could literally change lives just by being more aware and more faithful with the money that we think is ours. I mean, do you really think you have anything that's yours? Seriously, if God owns you, He owns what you own. And so it's not just being faithful in what goes in that box over there. It's faithfulness in everything else that we use and how we use it. And when we support, you know, ungodly people doing ungodly things, then, you know, we're just helping their cause. So I, you know, when I started studying this and I started thinking about this, it's made me a lot more picky about where my money goes. And there's times, you know, how do you eliminate Walmart out of your life? You know, it's, what do you do about that? We ask God, you know, what's an alternative? You know, who's a godly person that I can do business with out there, and I can be a help to the, I can be a blessing to the people in the church. I can be a blessing to the family of God by doing business with them. God will show you things you can do. Now, we do live in the world, so we do have to interact with them. But at the same time, when we have a choice, then we need to make better choices. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The thing that a lot of people in the church don't grasp is just how precious and how valuable everything in here is. And Paul's telling Timothy, don't give this to just anybody. Give it to faithful people that will use it to grow the kingdom. I mean, you've got a lot of people out there today that use this, or I should probably say they misuse it, and it's to gain, you know, financial wealth. You know, there's a lot of charlatans out there today. And, you know, you can't deny that. They're not the majority. You've got a lot of honest people in the kingdom of God. They don't tend to stand out, though. The news media is always looking for a scandal somewhere to try and report on. They don't, it's like they say, you know, airplanes that don't crash aren't news. Well, you know, churches that operate like they're supposed to, you know, the world don't see those as news either. I mean, they are good news in the kingdom of God, very good news. But one of my favorite verses about the faithfulness of God's people comes from the first chapter, first verse of Ephesians. And you probably heard me mention it here quite a few times. But Ephesians 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. How would you like to get a letter from the apostle Paul? And this is how he sees you. I'm sending this letter to someone that I see as faithful. Now, interestingly enough, when you read the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is the only letter Paul ever wrote that he didn't have to offer any correction to the church. He gave them some instruction about some things, but he didn't say you're doing this, you're involved in some activity that you need to quit, or you're involved in a sin or anything like that. He just gives them some simple instructions on how to operate. But then when you get to the book of Revelation, Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, is still doing pretty good. But then he says, you've lost your first love. Go back and repent. So what was that? There's been a lot of speculation on that. But in a marriage, if you're losing your first love, there's some unfaithfulness going on there in some way, isn't there? So what Jesus is seeing to me in that is the faithfulness that Paul was seeing when he wrote that letter wasn't there when John is writing his. Something had changed. And this was the church that Jesus' mama went to. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the Apostle John, this was a church that he attended, and he had Mary, the mother of Jesus, in his care. Timothy was the pastor of the church there. I don't know if he was pastor when the book of Revelation was written, but early on, he was the pastor, and this grew to be a huge church. But something happened in it, and to me, When I put these two scriptures together and look at them and compare them, it shows me that their faithfulness is starting to slip. And that's something we have to watch in our own life. We prove ourselves by what we do consistently. Faithfulness, a lot of times what it comes down to is just things that you repeat doing over and over and over without stopping. You know, people are very faithful. You know, some people are faithful to go to work every day. Some people are faithful to bathe every day. You can usually find the ones that are not. Some people are faithful to brush their teeth every day. There are just certain things that people do every day without really thinking. And that's kind of the way faithfulness should work in the church. There should be things that don't come out of our head. It's just things that are instilled in us because it's a part of our nature. It's a part of that new nature that God has put in us. And so there should be a faithfulness in the things of God. You know, and so a good check would be, you know, how faithful am I in the things that I have to? How faithful am I to show up at mealtime? You know, that's one people are usually pretty faithful to. But then, how does that compare with my faithfulness in my prayer time? How does it compare with my faithfulness for time in God's Word? How does it work, you know, as far as my faithfulness, just with things like church attendance? You know, one of the things that I've noticed about the character of God, because that's what all this is about, is God's character coming out in us. Now, how many of you want to see miracles in your life? Not just miracles for you, but you doing miracles for others. Go back and read the miracles. I'm going to tell you something you'll find with every miracle. the character of God shows up before the miracles of God. And when we can show God's character, when God's character comes out of us, the miracles are going to increase. Because God can't help himself when it comes to loving and doing miracles. God can't help himself when it comes to wanting to bless his kids. And that same character will come out of us once we have that nature fully developed in us. And a lot of that is simply getting your soul to line up with your spirit. Being faithful in God's word so that your mind is renewed. And so that your mind, the mind of your soul is in agreement with the mind of your spirit. You see, the book of Hebrews tells us that the word is sharper, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it can divide the soul and spirit. And I used to read that, you know, and I had this image in my mind, you know, this sword, and there's your soul and spirit, and it's like that, you know, like cutting apart Siamese twins, sort of. And but what it is the word causes conflict between the spirit and the soul, because when you first get saved or born again, your spirit's perfect. Your spirit is lined up with this. It's in agreement with this 100%. It's just like Jesus. But you still have a mind that has a connection to the old life, and it has to be trained and redeveloped. And so there's this conflict. And so the more it's renewed through God's word, the more it becomes in agreement with the spirit. And when the soul and the spirit become, when they come in agreement and they become as one, then things start happening. Faithfulness is not something you do. It's something you are. That's what makes it hard to define. When you see faithfulness in action, you know it. But if you had to write down a description of it, it would be kind of hard. But it's something the world can't understand. But boy, I want God to look at Spirit of Truth Ministries. And if God wanted to sit down and write us a letter, it would start out to the saints of the Spirit of Truth, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And to know that I'm included, when he writes that letter, he's included me in that. He's included all of you. And that's the way he sees you, is faithful. Stand up with me. Stephen, do you have anything? Okay, go ahead. I don't think it's on.
Here we go. Do you need help? I'm your ever-present help. Do you need love? I am love. Do you need peace? I am the Prince of Peace. I am all you need. There's no need to search for me. I am with you always. There's no need to cry out for me for help or for me to provide you with anything. I have already provided you everything you need. Speak forth the word that is within you. Stand on the promises I've already given. I've given you authority. Use your authority in faith. Use the name that is above any name. Speak and do not doubt, and watch mountains move.
Praise God. Y'all stand with me. Father, we thank you for your word today, that it's gone forth. And Father, we pray that our relationship would be such with you, that you would see us as faithful. Not faithful as the world sees it, but faithful as you see it. Lord, that we have a world that's in trouble, and they're going to continue to be in trouble until they have a face-to-face encounter with you. And the only way that's going to happen is through us. So, Father, transform us into the image of your Son so that people would know the true God and how you truly are, and that you're not the God of their problems. You're the God that with all the answers. You're the solution to the problems. Father, we thank you that you are the faithful one, that with all our failures, you stay with us, and you keep working in us, and you keep developing us, and you keep taking us from faith to faith and from glory to glory to transform us into what we need to be. So the world will have something to look at and say, like they did in the book of Acts with Peter and John, it said they realized that these men had been with Jesus. We want people to realize that we've been with you. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good week. I'll remind you, there won't be Bible study and prayer next Saturday because of a bunch of things going on. And anybody have any word, anything you need to share? Have a great week.